you want to taste freedom, peace in this life, I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry,
cry
for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry,
cry
for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see we could do? There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for March 5th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's Ecologic is about an important, hard-won victory, with a caveat. This campaign can be used as a model that is useful for groups throughout the country.
We welcome David Pringle, an great environmentalist from Empower, New Jersey. Hi, David, are you on the mic?
I am on the mic.
Great. Yes. Please introduce yourself so people have a voice to go with your name.
Sure, great. Thank you very much for having me. Long-time fan, I think, and listener and first-time speaker, I think, officially. I have been involved in the environmental movement my entire life, my professional career. I've worked for PERG and Clean Water Action for many years, did an occasional political stint in between, had a crazy idea to run for Congress in 2018, and that was a blast. And most recently, I have my own shingle, but I work very closely with Clean Water Action as a consultant. I'm also on the steering committee of Empower New Jersey, also working with Delaware Riverkeeper and the For the Generations movement to get a green amendment passed in New Jersey and across the country.
Great. Tell us a little bit about the recent vote at the Delaware River Basin Commission.
Sure.
Good news.
A long, windy road. Obviously, fracking in all variations is a horrible thing. Both the fracking itself and all the water that's wasted in fracking and the wastewater that's developed from fracking. The Delaware Basin is very, parts of it, especially in New York and Pennsylvania, is very conducive to fracking. It has the type of shale that is quite valuable for these purposes. And so it's been, with the fracking boom of the last 15 years, it's become a huge concern because for all the obvious fracking reasons, but also the basin is the drinking water supply for roughly 15 million people, especially in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and New Jersey. So we've been very concerned about it from day one. We got a great moratorium passed in 2010, and that was very nerve-wracking because there was efforts to start fracking back then. And there's been times to lift the moratorium and permit fracking. And we were at a standstill for many, many years. But last week, you got a huge victory where the four states that are in the basin, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, banned fracking in the basin forever, permanently. And we were literally hours away from having fracking happen in 2010 and 2011. So it's a huge victory. We do still have more work to do, though. We always do. We never rest. We have to make sure that this ban stays permanent, but yeah. It also only addresses fracking itself, not the importing of frack waste and or the export of Delaware Basin water to allow fracking elsewhere. And in the next watershed to the west, the Susquehanna, there is fracking. So that's a real concern.
Hey, yeah, David, tell us about the loopholes that are so obvious to some and so hidden to others.
Sure. So, fracking is basically picture frozen carbonated water. That carbon dioxide is in the water. It's just frozen in the rock. And the same thing is happening with natural gas in shale. It's basically in there in tiny little pockets frozen within the rock. Fracking is basically drilling down and putting high pressure water laden with chemicals to basically make mincemeat of that rock to expel the natural gas. So that process itself is very damaging to the immediate area. It also is, very leaky, so a lot of natural gas gets emitted into the atmosphere, and natural gas is, depending over what time period you look, anywhere from 24 to 100 times more potent a greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. And as I mentioned, it uses and wastes a tremendous amount of water. They're grabbing water from the area, forcing it into the rock, and so they're using a lot of water that would otherwise be available to all the uses we want to have for our water, drinking, recreation, wildlife, and such. That shale isn't just virgin shale. It has a lot of contaminants in it, heavy metals, and such. So it's picking up toxics that are frozen in the ground and mobilizing them, and they're using chemicals to help expedite getting that gas out there. So not only are they using water that would otherwise be used for other purposes, but it's very polluted water when they're done with it, and so they have to discharge it. So what the Basin Commission banned was fracking itself. They did not ban using Delaware Basin water and delivering it to some other watershed to promote fracking. We certainly want that banned. And they did not ban importing frack wastewater from other places that could be discharged in the basin. Governor Murphy especially has taken a lead on this. He's been very clear that he opposes all three. We got the one, and that's huge, and in no way, shape, or form do we want to diminish that, but our work is only partially done as long as the importing of frack wastewater and the exporting of Delaware water for fracking elsewhere are in limbo. And they're not permitted now, but they're not banned. They did announce at the same time they did the ban, they voted to do new rules to regulate import and export. We're confident those rules will be pretty strong, but we want them not pretty strong. We want them airtight. We want a ban, and if we can't get a ban, we want it so tight that it's a de facto ban.
That makes sense. The Delaware River provides drinking water for a lot of people, doesn't it?
Yeah, roughly 15 million people, city of Philadelphia, and lots of smaller places in parts in between, in New Jersey, Phillipsburg, Lambertville. The Delaware Canal has fed some Delaware water, and even areas that aren't in the Delaware Basin get drinking water from the Delaware. I actually live in Cranford, New Jersey, which is in the Rahway River and Raritan River basins, and we get some of our water from the Delaware because of the Delaware and Raritan Basin Canal.
Interesting.
So Trenton's another big. Trenton and a lot of South Jersey get a lot of drinking water in Burlington, Camden areas too.
I wanted to point out that, you know, when natural gas is a commodity term, because when methane is in the atmosphere of Jupiter, when it's a greenhouse gas, they call it methane. So let's call it methane and not use what the oil industry calls it. You know,
I also like to just use frack gas because all the gas on the market these days. The last numbers I saw were from 2015, and it's even worse now. But about two-thirds of the gas on the market in the U.S. came from fracking rather than traditional drilling, and that percentage is even higher now. So anything that relies on gas, it's coming from fracking.
The four states voted in favor of the ban, right? Have they been consistent with that? And
it's been a long winding road. Pennsylvania for the years has been very pro fracking. Governor Corbett, who's a Republican governor, up until I forget exactly when he left, around 7-ish years ago, he was pro fracking full steam ahead. That's why we have the problems we're having out in the Susquehanna. Fortunately, the Delaware River Basin Commission has more control over these things. There is a Susquehanna River Commission, but it's a lot weaker for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is all you river and geography fans know, the Susquehanna River starts in New York, but both sides of it are always in New York until it crosses the river, and then both sides are always in Pennsylvania until it crosses the border, and both sides are in Maryland. The Delaware River is the exact opposite. The entire main stem of the Delaware River, over 200 miles, whatever side of the river you're on, when you're looking at the other side, you're looking at a different state. It's in New York and Pennsylvania for a while. It's then New Jersey and Pennsylvania for a while. It's then New Jersey and Delaware for a while. The decisions each state make, obviously any decision made upstream impacts people downstream, but when you literally have the border crossing being the river, that makes it even more so. So that's one of the many reasons that the Delaware River Basin actually has more powers than the Susquehanna Commission. And fracking started happening. The shale is a little closer to the surface in the Susquehanna, so they went there first because it was cheaper, but they were starting to encroach on the Delaware, and with the greater powers, were able to take action and fix that. The basin has five members, the commission, one from each of the four states, the governor or their designee, and then the federal administration, the executive branch. Technically, it's the president, but they always have somebody from the Army Corps be that entity. For the vote this time, it was for the outright ban, it was the four states voting yes, and the federal administration abstained, saying that in light of the new administration, they hadn't had a chance to fully, you know, vet this all the way up and down the food chain. Obviously, the Trump administration was very pro-fracking, and we know how they would have voted if given the opportunity. There was a second vote, and that was to regulate the import and the export, and that was a vote of 5-0. So we're pleased with that. They did give a good charge to the staff to write the rules. They said that regulate it, but with extreme prejudice to not export good water and not import dirty water. So again, we need to look at what those rules look like, and we will be. You know, we've had hundreds of protests and rallies and actions over the years. So we will be doing the same thing in the next 6 months to make sure we get these rules right.
Sure. I've been at one of the Delaware River Basin Commission hearings. They are always in an off location somewhere in Ewing, far from public transit, outside of – is that standard or – yeah.
Yeah, generally, you know, I mean, if you look at the basin, I don't think it's the exact geographic – you know, middle of the basin, but, you know, it starts in the Catskills and goes all the way down to, Wilmington, Delaware. So, and obviously they want to be on the Delaware. So it's a relatively central place. As bad as you and I have it, Sally, the Catskill Mountain Keeper comes down to all these meetings too, and it's a 3 or 4 hour drive for him. Yeah, you know, yeah. We just have an hour or two.
How did we win?
We won for several reasons. One is, I mean, the science is there, the substance is there. Everybody knows, you know, unless you work for industry, you know, burning fossil fuels is bad for the environment. Adding in climate and everything else, people are becoming more and more educated. Fracking really only started 15 years ago for all intents and purposes. So it's still very much in its infancy. And every year we learn more and more, and the science becomes increasingly damning about how much water is used, how much water is polluted, how much methane is released into the atmosphere. So all of that happens, and the politics of the four states has also changed. You know, Governor Wolf might not be as anti-fracking as we would like him to be, but he's certainly no, you know, Governor Corbett, the Republican governor in Pennsylvania. President Biden might not be as anti-fracking as we would like him to be, but he certainly isn't President Trump. Governor right. Murphy certainly is not Governor Christie in New Jersey. One consistent thing has been Governor Cuomo. He's been around for this whole tenure, and notwithstanding, you know, other issues, he's been very helpful and critical on these issues within the basin. You know, he has banned fracking in the state of New York. That was very helpful, and he's been a solid, reliable vote and advocate on a series of votes concerning frack infrastructure on the basin. So the politics has changed, a key reason for that is the grassroots effort. This was not just a four-state, but a national effort. There were groups, and I'm not even going to, other than maybe the Delaware River Keeper, I'm not going to name any of them, because once I start naming one, I'm going to leave out some, and that would be unfortunate. I need to mention a couple.
I'm going to name Clearwater.
Okay.
Clearwater was a leading horse.
New York group, you know, Catskill Mountain Keeper, Delaware League of Women Voters has been very engaged. Delaware River Keeper is obviously very engaged in Pennsylvania, but, you know, there were national groups, Clean Water Watch, Clean Water Action, Food and Water Watch, Sierra Club, NRDC, lots of local groups, Damascus Citizens Against, you know, for Clean Water.
Oh, yeah.
It goes up and down, up and down the basin. And we literally had hundreds of protests, rallies, targeted actions. The commission meets, you know, basically monthly, and we were at every single one of them, dominating the public comment period of every single meeting, every single time. At one point, we even heard that we feared they were going to vote, do a sneaky vote against us. And so we all got up. Obviously, this was pre-planned, and we all started walking around, marching in the middle of the meeting, singing, "This land is your land," literally preventing them, dominating the mics, even though they were 30, 50 feet away from us. And so they eventually just gave up and closed the meeting and moved on.
It's always good to give shout-outs to our allies, David. Yeah. So
and I do like to... One other I take pride of being a New Jersey boy is, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure the first resistance action after he who not be named won the presidential election in 2016 was a rally that the New Jersey groups active in this coalition organized at the Trenton Bridge over to Pennsylvania. It was the 10 days after the election, and we were planning on doing it anyway, but obviously with his election, we now lost, you know, had more problems on the commission because he was one of the five votes. And so we kind of take pride in that this was, given the election results, you know, we need to resist. We had to keep pumping away. Governor Murphy's election mattered a lot too. He did commit in the campaign to banning all three aspects of fracking in the basin, and it's taken, you know, took us 3+ years to get there from that commitment, but would rather have had it sooner, but I'd rather have it now than later.
Sure. Yeah.
So the advice you'd give to all the people all over the country listening to this right now is don't give up.
No matter how bad or good it is, don't give up. If you've won, you can lose tomorrow. If you lose, you can win tomorrow.
I got to say, that's one of the pluses of Ecologic and WBAI is that we let people know that they can do something, and this is a very empowering time for activists and tool for activists. So,
and we can all get a rap that we're never satisfied, and we never should be satisfied as long as somebody is getting sick from pollution or whatever. Our job has not been completed. And even when we get to that point and the air is perfect and the water is perfect, if we could ever get to that utopia, there will always be threats to change that. So we always have to be on guard. We always have to organize. We always need to hold our legislators and our decision makers accountable, lift them up when they deserve it, and hold them accountable when they don't.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned that you and Delaware Riverkeeper are working on is the Green Amendment. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about that in some of my other groups. Tell us a little about that.
Quickly. Sure. The Green Amendment is actually a amendment in the Bill of Rights of state constitutions. Unfortunately, only Pennsylvania and Montana have them now. And it's a national movement to put in the Bill of Rights right next to freedom of assembly and speech and religion and all of that, the right to clean air, pure water, and a healthy environment.
Well, they say the time flies when you're having fun, and unfortunately we are out of time. Wow. So, David, please briefly give us your websites and contact info.
I sure will. Email dpringle1988@gmail.com, cleanwateraction.org/New Jersey. And I don't know the other ones off the top of my head, but I will share them with your listeners if they reach out to me. And let me just do one final plug. The Green Amendment is on the ballot in New York this year. So in November, you are going to have the chance to vote yes or no. Should you have the right to clean air or clean water?
Yes.
We're fighting very hard to get it on the ballot in New Jersey, too. So help us wherever you are.
So once again, we bring you breaking news and people who are making a difference. That's what Ecologic does. So this is the most important role for Ecologic and WBAI.org.
Join our email list. When the shows are posted, and those of you online, go to www.ecoradio.org. And again, please sign up for our mailing list.
To listen to this show again, I'm sure many of you want to, or any of our past shows, and to get environmental news on a variety of topics, go to our website. And tune in March 12th when we discuss developers versus green spaces. We're at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org. There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI. We really appreciate your donations.
Go to www.givetowbai.org. and put Eco-Logic in the search box in the upper right corner.
It's a win-win.
And those of you in Manhattan, Environment TV is on at 11 a.m. this Sunday and will contain the video versions of the last parts of the last two episodes of Eco-Logic. So you want to tune in to Environment TV, 11 a.m. on Sunday. And a big thanks to our great engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Tune in Friday, March 12th at 2:30 p.m.
Our inexpensive energy
KPFW Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. The Senate has voted to reject a proposal sponsored by Senator Bernie Sanders to raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. Seven Democrats and one independent who caucuses with Democrats voted against it. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats agreed to lower the measure's full unemployment benefits to $300 a week and to extend the coverage to September as the debate on President Biden's COVID-19 relief bill continues in earnest at this hour, following a Republican stunt to delay the process last night. Republicans are expected to put forth a slew of additional stalling tactics, potentially delaying a final vote for days. Democrats hope to pass the bill with Vice President Kamala Harris as the tie-breaking vote. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing another round of criticism on reporting nursing home deaths due to COVID after it was revealed last night the total death count was stripped from a state report last July. The Cuomo administration pressured the health department to not include the full death count attributed to nursing homes in the report, according to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. The changes resulted in a significant undercount of the death toll attributed to the most vulnerable. The economy added 379,000 jobs in February, but is still down 9.5 million jobs from a year ago, according to the latest monthly data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The leisure and hospitality sector saw the biggest job growth last month, but public sector jobs continue to disappear without federal budget support. While the overall unemployment rate dropped to 6.2% in February, black workers experienced an uptick in unemployment to 9.9%. The Economic Policy Institute calculates 25 million workers have been directly harmed by the coronavirus pandemic. Democratic Senator Tim Kaine and Indiana Republican Todd Young have introduced a bill that would curb presidential war powers by repealing the 1991 and 2002 authorizations for use of military force against Iraq. Quote, last week's airstrikes in Syria show that the executive branch, regardless of party, will continue to stretch its war powers. Congress has a responsibility to not only authorize new military action, but to repeal old authorizations that are no longer necessary, Kaine tweeted. A group of U.S. lawmakers will visit an Amazon.com facility in Alabama today, lending their support to a growing push to unionize workers at the e-commerce firm. Workers at the Amazon Fulfillment Center are voting on whether to become the first Amazon employees to join a union. The visit comes on the heels of Biden's recent message where he defended workers' rights to form unions. While he did not mention Amazon, he did reference workers in Alabama. Top Florida Democrats have called on the acting U.S. Attorney General and the FBI to investigate Republican Governor Ron DeSantis for corruption and wrongdoing after reports that most residents over 65 in a wealthy Key Largo community had received vaccines by mid-January. 17 residents donated $5,000 each to DeSantis' political committee prior to the vaccinations. This comes amid accusations that DeSantis prioritized wealthy communities that were connected to political donors for vaccination pop-up sites. Currently in Washington, it's sunny and 41 degrees. In New York, it's sunny and 36. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.